You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Conclave returns. Remember that's
what we called you
guys? The Conclave?
Yeah.
I figure at this point, since you've only done two shows, like, and they were both about Star Wars The Last Jedi, it should just be the Jedi Conclave.
The Jedi Council is taken, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's some empty seats on it.
Yeah, now. But this is the spoiler full review of Star Wars The Last Jedi with our team of experts. Mm. And let's meet our panel, ladies and gentlemen. First up, we have...
Adam Sweeney. Member of the 501st, I guess filmmaker now, and just all around, obviously, like so many other people, and the Jedi Conclave, a Star Wars fanatic.
Cool. Monica Noyola, not so secret Star Wars nerd, my last true nerddom that I've never fully outgrown of. So,
Harris O'Malley, professional nerd, run DrNerdLove.com, and I've seen all of the Star Wars movies in the original in the theater.
Chris Herman, host of We Are Error, occasional OneOfUs.net contributor, and also a Star Wars fan.
There you go. So, once again, as I said, this is full spoiler, so if you have not seen this movie yet, this is not the review for you. On the site, there is a review that we were really careful not to have any spoilers on. Mm-hmm. That's the one you want to listen to if you're still weirdly unsure if you want to see this movie or not.
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
But yeah, I'm going to hand it over to you guys. And Chris, since you've got a lot of experience with this, I'm going to let you be the moderator discussion here.
So, okay.
I'll be around.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm fair enough.
I mean, if there's something spoilerish I have to add something to, I'll do it.
No, sure, of course. I think we can all agree with this new movie that we're all fairly disappointed, right, guys, right?
I signed to get it out of canon.
I already signed the petition 82 times this morning.
No, here's the thing, actually. I just want to go around the room, get everyone's kind of like initial thoughts on it. You know, just really short, starting with Adam, if you will.
Okay, full disclosure, I've seen it 3 times. Wow. I'm sure, like, most people have seen it. A couple of times. Took a little bit of time to get used to whenever I first saw it. That said, I love it warts and all. I think that it's incredibly subversive. I love what Rian Johnson is trying to do thematically, as well as what he's trying to do with most of the characters. And I wish that he was going to be aboard for episode 9.
I echo that. I've also seen it 3 times. And each time I had to convince myself to go back. Because unlike previous installments where I was just like, oh, I can't wait to see that again, I had to process it each time and go back and see, like, did I really feel that way about it? And I have come to really appreciate it. I appreciated it watching it, but I couldn't quite understand why it wasn't hitting all of those Star Wars fan love boxes for me. And I've come to appreciate, you know, it is subversive, it is different, it's bold, and I think it's been a long time since we've gotten bold Star Wars, good or bad, if you like it or not. But you have to admit, it is a bold and daring new entry in this saga.
Yeah, I've only seen it once so far, just because of timing. When I was watching it, I was actually spending the first, I want to say, half hour kind of uncomfortable and thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I'm going to actually like this one. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this. And as the more I sat with it and the more the movie progressed and the more I realized what the movie was doing, the more I was like, no, not only am I comfortable with this, I really like where this is going. And the biggest problem I had for me was the initial feeling of, this doesn't feel like every other Star Wars product that's been handed to me. And like, In the run-up to this, I've been mainlining on stuff like Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's great.
And, it's got that very different feel, much in the same way that Rogue One has a very different feel.
I'll say this about the film, that it does have has a different feel, and it does take risks. I think Rian Johnson, to a certain degree, kind of mitigates those risks based on things that actually happen in the movie. It's like, sure. It seems like, okay, wow, that was really bold. And then you kind of take that away from you, which is very odd. I will say, Mark Hamill gives the performance of his career in this.
Absolutely.
I think his take on Luke, I think we'll all talk about Luke in a minute, but his take on Luke Skywalker, this version of Luke to me is the best part of the entire film. Mm-hmm. His plot, his arc along with Kylo Ren, along with Rey, works really, really well. And I also think the movie is punctuated by really cool looking moments. I mean, the light speed through the starship was amazing. You know, the monochromatic look, the sound design. It's a beautiful moment, which we haven't seen in Star Wars. Again, Rian Johnson's bringing that uniqueness to the film. My problem with the movie is that I think for a large portion of it, it's really incoherent and really inconsistent. And that's with the inclusion of new characters who I think bring either nothing to the film or they're extremely annoying and very reminiscent of the prequels. And especially when they introduce a new subplot featuring some of these new characters, along with characters introduced in The Force Awakens, which is like, wow. I was sitting in the theater, like, why am I not enjoying this? And I realized, oh, yeah, because this is all CGI prequel bullshit where you have little midget rats, you know, messing with, you know, with BB-8 putting coins into them, and you have singing octopus ladies and these dumb fucking goat horses, which I hope in the next movie they're just all dead or just like at a feast or something like that. It's just that part of the movie just felt really weird, and it harkened back to a time Star Wars, which I don't want anymore. We don't need it. It's not needed at this point.
I felt that the Canto Bight section was the weakest. Mm-hmm. It did feel like this would be a cool side story in a comic or a novel.
There is a novel. It's called Canto Bight.
But I mean, just that story that we see as an independent Star Wars tale. Mm-hmm. What I finally ended up reconciling myself to it is, one, I do kind of like this sly joke of like, you know, we went from Mos Eisley spaceport being the most wretched hive of scum and villainy to this Canto Bight. It's the worst place in the universe with the worst people in the galaxy. And it's a fucking place. And the first thing we see is like the Star Wars version of Mr. Pennybags from Monopoly,
yeah.
You know, with a space monocle twirling his mustache tentacles. So, yeah, it's a little 1% joke. The reason I finally kind of got over that story is how it fits thematically, because it's a dumb plot. They accomplish nothing.
Yes.
They fail in every way. They don't meet the one guy they're there to meet. They meet some other guy who ends up selling them out, which prevents them from fulfilling the whole point of the mission. And yet that ties into ultimately the theme of the movie, which was you should have just listened to the leadership. We knew what was going on, but no, you guys went off half-cock without the information. You put everybody at risk just to do this little glorious save-the-day hero bullshit. And if you had just talked to us, we could have told you, no, dudes, we've got a plan. Instead, you wiped out half the fucking fleet. Which Holdo should have just said, hey, I've got a plan.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Holdo, it would have been good if Holdo had said, I have a plan. But let's be honest, she never really got a chance to before Poe was like, all right, well, it's mutiny time.
Yeah.
That was before. No, there were many chances.
He also just been busted. You know, he was like, dude, you no longer deserve my respect.
Exactly. He's literally just wiped out half of their fleet.
Go sit in the corner.
He does not get to be able to be in the planning session. But also the theme of the movie, besides fuck your theories, has been the old ways don't work.
Right.
Like, everything that we've seen, it's been subverting our expectations because we expect, you know, we expect Poe Dameron's plan to work and for the hidebound leadership to be wrong because that is what we've become accustomed to from movies. We are expecting Luke to come save the day and be a badass and destroy everybody because that is what we've become to expect from movies.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah, and Rian Johnson is like, no, the world doesn't work like that. If you go off and, you know, half-cocked, no planning, no logistics, and don't listen to the people who've told you, no, that you need to do this, then you're going to fuck everything up for other people. The people that you, who said, like, hey, you know, I'm a scoundrel, I'm doing this for money, are not going to come back and go, you know what, I've had a change of heart.
Yeah, the scoundrel with a heart of gold isn't.
And so I agree with everything about that. And but there's one reason that it falls apart for me, and this is why. There's no consequence whatsoever to what Poe, Rose, and Finn do at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right by the end of the film, they should have all been basically taken away. I understand that like the Resistance needs anybody that they can get.
Yeah, it's like five people now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you fit them in the hole of one ship.
Yeah,
right. And so, but the problem is that Poe not only gets a ton of people killed, right, on their bombing team because he doesn't listen to Leia. He gets demoted, right? He also is misogynistic and a mansplainer, basically, right? He looks at Vice Admiral Hodo and says, she's not what I expected,
right?
Yeah. Which is like, basically like, she's kind of hot, right? Or whatever he may be thinking, right? You get the impression that he's basically saying like, maybe she's a woman, whatever. So I thought about it a lot, and, you know, I hear people say, well, Vice Admiral Hodo, why didn't you just tell them the fucking plan, man? And it's like, well, this is why we didn't tell the plan, because if they would have told the plan, 5 minutes later, you would have launched your mutiny right there, right? Because I don't get the impression that Poe was going to listen to what was happening no matter what. I think Poe, the point is that he has to take a step back and realize he's not the hot shot the entire time. Now, that said, he ends up being basically foreshadowed for episode 9 that he's going to be the leader anyways, right?
Yeah, which is,
and,
okay.
which is like, well, wait a second, you've done everything wrong.
Yes.
And then also Rose and Finn, who I mean, they're great actors. Hey, all, Kelly Marie Tran and John Boyega, I love them both, right? They do nothing right. They waste a performance, I think, from Benicio del Toro as well. And then by the end of it, Finn, I feel like his arc could have come full circle and really had some, like, mattered if we would have seen a character who has run away the whole time and then decides to, you know what, I'm going to give myself for the cause, right? And that would have been a beautiful arc. Mm-hmm. And also, furthermore, I would have thought that we would have had a Game of Thrones elevation in terms of stakes because we would have said, you know what? Hell, anybody can die.
We're not afraid to kill these new characters that we established in the previous film.
Exactly.
And it's, which I know, and it leads to like a really great moment with Finn, but then it ruins it when, of course, Rose comes in. And with, I'm sorry, the worst line in the movie. We're not fighting against the people we hate. We're fighting for the people we want to save.
But
my God.
I cringed at that line, too.
Yeah.
I cringed at that line precisely because, A, I didn't think it was well delivered or written.
Yeah.
But what was really frustrating is, no, that is one of the themes. And I was getting that until you put a button on it and made it really obvious. Because that's what Holdo does. She's like, I'm not going to go out in a blaze of fucking glory. I'm going to let...
She kind of does, though.
Neither does Luke. Well, she does.
Yeah, she does.
But it's not for her own glory.
Mm-hmm.
Luke could just say, fuck it. I'm going to go and pull the X-Wing out. I'll go over there and take care of this. He does it, which is what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to buy... Even that's where Poe finally earns the mantle of leadership. He goes, no. Because Finn's like, we got to go out there to help him. And he's like, no. He is doing this to buy us time. That's really what Leia's been kind of... And why Holdo is kind of like... busting his balls too. It's like, no, dude, we want you to be a leader. You've got what it takes, but you haven't learned to see the big picture. You're just, as Leia says, you know, stop thinking with your cockpit, which is another, you know, like, okay, good for you, Carrie Fisher. You get to deliver that line.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also felt like there were a lot of moments where we were being told what to feel. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bugged me a little bit, right? Whenever we see Rose looking, you know, Finn's looking around, he's like, okay, so what's the problem? And then Rose says, look down, look a little bit closer. This is how you're supposed to feel, right? And then we see, as you said, a Poe says, oh, he's buying us time. And I feel like any halfway intelligent audience member would look and go, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get the hell out of there.
I don't think they would, though, because the story of Star Wars has been the scrappy force pulling off the last-minute victory.
Yeah.
And this was a case where the victory isn't going to be taking down Hux and Kylo Ren and all that. Victory is going to be getting your ass out of there to fight another day.
Right. Well, what's wrong with him looking and seeing Luke walk out there and go, guys, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jin just heading that way, right? I mean, we've already seen Poe. I thought the moment of his lesson was whenever he realizes they're getting picked apart.
Right.
Right? And he's like, we got to retreat. Like, let's go.
Because the odds are against him at this point.
Yeah. Right. They have no chance whatsoever. Yeah. And they would have
even with the superpower god, which, you know, everyone, again, it's Luke Skywalker's legend.
That's also part of the misdirect because we as the audience at that moment don't know that's not Luke.
But there's a there,
which
that
is,
one,
they are all
which
convinced
is,
he's there.
But the one great clue is that he's got the wrong lightsaber.
And he looks 20 years younger, which I'm like, why does he look so young all the time?
Because it is,
why does he have
a
blue
haircut?
I know.
It's the way Kylo Ren remembers
him. Right.
Yeah. Also, he
and also how
tracks on the dirt.
It's like the Matrix, dude. It's your mind version of yourself.
I don't know. For me, that felt just really, like, aesthetically, just, I don't know, it didn't work for me. That. Like, I would have been fine had it just been, it would have been better for the audience because it's like, oh, wow, Luke is actually there. Like, it's not just, because then I started thinking, I was like, why does he look so weird? That doesn't make any sense. Like, have him just come out the way he looks now, you know, disheveled, but in his robes and everything like
but
that.
Yeah,
but still an Arthurian presence, you know, I mean, he has that just, everything with that beard and everything. I mean, just,
but
it's
strong.
it's also if you think about it, it is a pacifistic stance that he takes. He doesn't go to kill Kylo Ren. He just goes to distract him long enough and to fuck with him a little bit. You know, and if notice, they never connect blades. He just always ducks because the minute, even when, you know, one of the funny moments when he like brushes the dirt off his shoulders, you go, there's no dirt.
There's no dirt, which I'm like, what?
He's like, because he's not really there. Yeah. Yet he's convinced everybody. And I think that's why Poe has to say the rather obvious line of like, no, we got to leave. He's doing this for a reason. Because I think up to that point, everybody's thinking, shit, Luke's out there. Let's go help him.
Yeah, and the audience would have said, wait, Poe just told everybody to get the fuck out. Why is Poe a coward?
Right.
So I think they kind of have to draw the line to that, because unfortunately, a lot of the audiences are not that sophisticated, and that's part of why they had to draw the line of, look at the guilt that's covering the shit at Canto Bight. I mean, it's because we're kind of dealing with that right now, and people still haven't exactly gotten that hint yet.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole lot of wars going on, and somebody's still making money. How is that happening?
Yeah,
exactly?
We've never seen the economy of the First Order, and now we're seeing it. It's like they are the one percenters who are like, doesn't matter who wins, they profit.
Right.
Yeah, that whole segment just felt a little too on the nose to me.
Yeah, but
I kind of wanted to touch just on, like, everyone's general thoughts with Luke. You know, I kind of, like, I love Mark Hamill's performance. I love what he brought to the character, this very just, he's at the lowest point in his life, and he just wants, he's cut himself off the Force. And just, in general, what do you think of, like, Luke Skywalker, starting with, if Marco, if you want to,
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I think, as you said earlier, this is the best performance he's given in a Star Wars film. It's the best material he's been given in a Star Wars film. And Mark Hamill's famously said, you know, he wasn't comfortable with it at first. He didn't completely agree with it. And I think sometimes when an actor is pushed out of their comfort zone, it brings something out of them that we've never seen before. I think a lot of the complaints about this film, frankly, deal with the depiction of Luke. And yet, I think you have zeroed in on him being one of the best parts of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he is. Loved
every moment.
And for people like, no, that's not the way Luke would have done it. That's not how Luke's supposed to be. I'm like, look at it from Luke's perspective. He has fucking failed at everything. 30 years later, galaxy's still at war. Empire's back just under a new brand. You know, yeah, he redeemed his father, but now his nephew wants to be the next Vader. He was going to raise a Jedi Academy, but that's gone. So he's like, fuck it. What was it all for? It's like, we're exactly where I started.
And it's not as though there isn't a history of Jedi running off into exile after they fucked up spectacularly.
Yeah. You know, he's like, I came here to die. And think about all those 2 years we've been wondering, what's he going to do when he gets that lightsaber? And he's just like, fuck this. Which is why I like that he astrally projects himself. He's like, no, the days of me going out with a sword and like just trying to go one-on-one, and he realizes, just if I go and kill my nephew, that's not going to solve
the
this
cycle
problem.
Is just
going
to continue.
It's just going to keep going. All I can do is, because people are like, oh, Luke was a symbol of hope and now he's just this like emo bastard, you know, who's bitter. And I'm like, no, at the end of the movie, whether you like it or not, you see those little kids telling the story of Luke Skywalker. And
Broom
Luke
Kid.
Has a Broom Kid. Canon now, he's Broom Kid.
Yeah, apparently.
Kind of like that one guy who's now Traitor in Force Awakens.
Yeah. Traitor.
But he has become a symbol of hope again. So Luke does achieve that status. He's put it off. He's like, no, I'm not going to be the hero you want. But he ends up being that anyway. And that kind of ties into the Rey story, if anyone wants to grab that.
Like,
I was going to say, unless Adam has anything to say about
it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that Rian Johnson listened to the critics, a lot of the critics of The Force Awakens, which were, people, when they saw the prequels, you know, a lot of it justifiably was an issue, and the criticism was in terms of the execution of it, right? Like, I think ultimately the plot itself on paper kind of sounds pretty interesting to me. That said, whenever Force Awakens, you know, we heard people say, I just want my old Star Wars, right? Like, why can't I just have my old Star Wars? And so J.J. Abrams said, okay, we will do a pretty much note-for-note echo of A New Hope, right? And so then what was the central criticism? This is too much like my old Star Wars.
Fans are fickle.
Right. Sure. And so I think that if we would have seen, you know, seen Luke 30 years removed, not to mention that we had to do this by necessity for the story itself, right, is essentially a reboot in terms of the conflict. But if I would have seen Luke show up and just be, and they're like, what have you been doing? And he's like, well, I'm the most powerful Jedi ever, and I've just been kind of hanging out. I'm going to teach you everything.
Picking up chicks.
Exactly. I've just been picking up women, right? I would have just said, this is incredibly boring, and I have no interest in this story whatsoever, right? So the fact that they were able to be thoughtful about Luke, and also, I feel like, really punctuate and show him in an ultimate, like he's in the, like, ultimate Zen Kung Fu moment at the end, right? Whenever you see him kind of in that, you know, that stance, right, where he's being elevated.
Samurai.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they play his entire arc on that planet is the old samurai master who's gone away and the young pupil who won't leave his front door.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys something, though? And this just occurred. I haven't even heard anybody say it. And I'm like, wait.
Sure.
Maybe I've just missed something. So if he really, really, really didn't want anyone to find him, why is there an elaborate Indiana Jones map broken up into pieces across the galaxy to find him?
Because JJ plotted all of this stuff out without having an end game.
Yeah.
Like he always does.
I have these mysteries that'll get people to come back. Yeah. And Rian Johnson said, yeah, well, I know that, you know, that's going to be answered in episode 3. Here's the sneakiest thing Rian Johnson does. Imagine there is a theoretical episode 8. And then Last Jedi is actually episode 9.
Right.
It's not a bad conclusion to the trilogy. He basically fills out the Empire and Return of the Jedi bingo card and leaves no more squares for JJ to play with. He's like, fuck, I can't have the climactic throne room scene I was envisioning.
And now
he can't do the parent reveal.
If he does the parent reveal thing, then it's going to be a doubling back. It's like, okay, yeah, I've seen people arguing like, no, Rey's parents have to be special. Maybe Kylo Ren doesn't think they are because he's an asshole. But the whole point of this movie was that your bloodline isn't there to make you special. Anybody can be the hero if you step up. And so Rey is the hero because she's Rey, not because she's Rey, you know, Rey Kenobi or Rey Skywalker or Rey whatever.
And if you were a kid between 1977 and 1980, and the only thing you had to go on was A New Hope or Star Wars, as we called it back then, you had the only thing you knew about the Force or the Jedi was from that first film. You don't know about Luke's parentage. All you know about being a Jedi is like, hey, your dad was a Jedi. You want to be a Jedi? It's like anybody can be a Jedi. All you have to do is discipline yourself, commit to the training. By the time he's like, no, actually, your dad's really special. By the prequels, they're like, actually, your dad's the chosen one, and he married a princess, and, you know, split you up. It's like, okay, now it's like, it's less about being just a nobody, a farm boy from nowhere who can become a hero. It's about being special and royalty. And this takes it back. The stable boys at Canto Bight could rise up and start a revolution. Because why not? Why do they need special parents?
There's a few things I want to address of what you're saying. One, in regards to Rey's parentage. I'm fine with her parents being nobodies. That's fine. My problem with her character is, like, why is she the most powerful person in the galaxy? They don't establish her. I thought where the mystery, what J.J. was establishing the Force Awakens. I'm sorry, but he was saying that there's more to this character than what we currently know now. That's established. And then for that to come out, it's like, no, it's not. She's just, and I'm sorry, I argued against this at the time. It's like, she's not a Mary Sue character. They're clearly doing something with her where there's more to her. But it's like, wow, she is just a Mary Sue character. I mean, and I was just kind of taken aback by that. They made that decision. People can say she's on the same arc as Luke. It's like, no, Luke struggled the entire way with, like, from A New Hope, from Empire until Jedi, where he came into himself. Rey is instantly, she's able to use the Force. She's able to use a Jedi mind trick just like easily without even knowing about Jedi mind tricks.
Right.
It's just like, no, there's some, again, and this is the big, largest problem I have with, I think with my, what my problem is going to be with this trilogy. There's inconsistencies. There's this sense of incoherence, which is really starting to bother me, and where not all these directors, JJ and Ryan, clearly weren't on the same page for the story. No. And I think that's going to hurt the overall arc for this entire thing.
I think if JJ had mapped it out, Ryan would have stuck to it. He's like, you didn't give me anything? Right. I was like, I'm going to cut out all the shit I don't like.
I mean, we don't know the behind the scenes. We don't know the behind the scenes stuff. Why didn't they have that conversation? It's like, this is where, I mean, there has to be something.
He said they didn't give me anything. It was a blank slate.
Because with 9 is then just, are we going to get to the point where JJ's like, I'm just going to get rid of everything that Ryan did. And it's like, that's not a good plan.
And I'm just saying, in relation to Rey and her being that powerful, the movie keeps emphasizing, they all do, the Force seeks balance.
Yeah.
The Force can impregnate a chick. It can make Leia float through space. It can do whatever the fuck it wants to based on what it thinks balance is necessary for. In this particular case, it's like, Jesus, rebels, can't you do anything for yourself?
That's not even subtext. That is literal text. Snoke says, you know, the rising, you know, the force rises to its own level. Great strength in the dark means great strength in the light. Oh, you thought it was you? No, it's obviously Luke. No, you're wrong. It was her. Why? Because she happened to be the right person.
I think also, maybe they'll explore it in the novels. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence she's born on Jakku. I don't like that attitude of like, oh, we'll just put it in a novel and explain it away.
That's incredibly frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And you know, I'm hoping that J.J. Abrams and company are going to look at this and go, shit, we really have a challenge here.
Yep.
And I'm sure he's a smart dude. I'm sure he's been listening to the criticism like, yes, I was safe on Force Awakens. Yes, I did repeat a lot of beats and just do stuff that I loved. But I think Rian Johnson, if anything, would be like, dude, I just gave you the challenge of your life. Are you going to rise up to it?
Fix all my narrative mistakes.
Or no, make this work. He's like, I made your shit work. But now it's your way. It's your job to make it. Basically, he didn't make it work. He's like, I got rid of the corny shit you introduced. The obvious mysteries. Phasma was boring. Snoke was boring.
I would
get rid of them.
Adam,
who wants to bet $100 right now that Captain Phasma comes back?
Oh, she is totally not dead.
Yeah.
Come
back.
The thing is,
I agree. Why?
I was glad watching the house get cleaned. I was like, oh, thank God, because I don't give a fuck about Captain Phasma. And
I agree. Yeah.
It's like people going, well, what? We're never going to know his backstory? I'm like, look how that worked out for Emperor Palpatine. We got the prequels, and he sucked.
But that's...
Actually, he's the best part of the prequels.
Okay, in regards to Phasma, I thought that was going to be an opportunity to like, okay, that character did not work because they didn't do anything with her. Now let's... Rian Johnson had the opportunity to actually do something with this character, and you're like, nah, we're just going to do the same thing that happened during The Force Awakens again.
Yeah.
That's just like... My thing is just, then why just have her in the movie? Just not even include her. Just say, she never got out of the thing.
That would have been even braver. But yeah, I think he was like, I have to do this, or people will go, why didn't you address these characters?
I bet you that actually came from above. I bet you anything. They were like, we want to see Captain... Everybody wants to see Captain
Phasma
again.
Yeah, which is... Yeah, it just didn't work for me. Yeah, Adam, you want to say something?
I think that... I'm underwhelmed, certainly, by Captain Phasma. I'm like, I would be happy if she disappears completely, just like I think we all agree about that. With that said, I as much as I love, and I'm actually kind of like on board with like the what we saw from Andy Serkis and Snoke. I thought that was fine.
Yeah,
I think that based upon the importance that he has. And the fact that he shows up, not like the Emperor, at the very end, or in the third act, right, in Return of the Jedi, it necessitates that we have to know a little bit of his motivation. Now, I think that that could have been easily done by him talking to Rey. It could have been easily done by him talking to Kylo, whoever, right? And basically, like, because my question is, I'm like, why the hell do you hate the Jedi so much?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Well, I don't think Snoke's story is over yet.
I think it's completely definitively done.
No, because Kylo is the creation of Snoke, and I think in the next movie we have seen it set up that Kylo is on his own path, but we are going to see what like that like Snoke's influence, and that is going to come out. Maybe not necessarily in the sense of having like that exposition bomb of explaining everything, but I think we're going to get more of that story.
I disagree with that. And the reason I disagree with that is that Kylo flat out says like it's time to let the past die, right? Mm-hmm. And he just lists off everybody, right? Which is clearly like a meta narrative, right?
Yeah, where sure. Ryan yeah, Johnson, the mission statement,
right? Yeah. Exactly.
It's like your original trilogy. This is something new,
right? Let's go. Which I'm totally cool with that, but I just wish there would have been a couple of lines, even if it would have been when he's talking to Rey or something like that, you know, or, I mean, because ultimately what we see a lot of it, right, even from like DJ and whoever is, right, like you don't know who the hero is really. And we see that all the time. And I would have been totally fine if Snoke would have been like, let me tell you about your precious Jedi, what they do. Right. They've left, you know, they've left planets in ruin. They've left people disfigured, blah, 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 this and this and this. And then basically alludes to himself. Right. Yeah, and it's like gives a little story. I also would have really liked to have seen, I don't know, more than 10 seconds of how Snoke got his influence on Ben, because everybody seems to know who he is.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That's just like
everybody knows who he is. And yet we're like, OK. Okay, where was he, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like Luke knows about him, Han knows about him, Leia knows about him because they did do their exposition bomb and some really bad dialogue.
It wasn't, it was Snoke.
It was Snoke, right?
Snoke who turned our son.
Okay, well, show us, don't tell us, right?
Exactly.
And,
and
I don't understand why we do that. Furthermore, like, I'm okay with the fact that they got rid of, that they subverted the expectations and said, listen, we're cutting off the laziness that we were going to have whenever we would have seen the Emperor and Vader again, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to show you what would have happened if Vader ascends to the throne, okay? Yeah. And that's cool with me, but I think we needed a little bit more. I don't need
context.
To
need context.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, that was kind of just my big issue, but it led to a cool scene, though. I will say that.
Very
that
cool
that
scene.
That was one of the most imaginative takes on a lightsaber battle. Yeah,
because absolutely.
You know, no lightsabers hit each other.
Quick question. Has Kylo Ren, and I'm a big fan of his character.
Same.
I think he's the one that rises above pretty much all of it. Luke included.
He's the Anakin we should have gotten.
I agree with
that
completely.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Has he forgotten that he knows how to, like, do force paralysis? Like, or stop bolts? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
for the sake of convenience of the plot, we're just like, he's not going to be able to do that right.
Right.
Now.
So they powered him down, and it seems like they powered Rey down to a degree until when the plot calls for it, right?
Yes, exactly.
But what I'm sorry, I don't mean to, like, be taking up too much time, but I agree with what you were saying about Luke, like, I feel like Luke's arc compared to Rey right now, and I love Daisy Ridley. I think she's amazing in killing what she, like, every time she's has a performance, whether it's this, Murder on the Orient Express or whatever, I think she's wonderful. But, like, Luke could barely, like, lift, like, three or four boulders in the middle of our second act, right? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Rey, like, can lift 100 of them, and it's like, I get that the Force is calling out to her, and I had a conversation about this today, and somebody was like, well, she just believes more, right? And so she's more in tune. She's the perfect instrument for the Force. And I agree with that, but it knocks down 7 other films that you've seen where like, you were informed, all Jedi train.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, and that's how it goes. And you don't get to just close your eyes and beat everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Even Snoke alludes to it at the very beginning, right? Whenever he's like, you were unbalanced and you were beaten by a girl who had never even touched a lightsaber. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that worked for me, but I don't feel like Rey grew at all in this film.
Stagnant. Yeah. And a lot of the characters even. I'd say the same thing with Finn.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Yeah. I thought that was really unfortunate because I think that you have an actress and an actor who are very capable of handling whatever you put in front of them.
I think retroactively episode 9 could answer that. If they don't, it's a lost opportunity.
Sure.
If they don't, then I'm going to be right with you and go, man, why was that never answered? If that's something they're keeping in their back pocket, I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, that's one of the things we have to keep in mind is that this is the second act of a three-part story.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing about it's very clear that Rian Johnson is most interested in Luke and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, fuck, I got these other characters that I don't give a shit about. But they're nice people, and I got to give them something to do. And so I'll try to find something interesting that supports the themes or at least provides some fun visual moments. But, yeah, I think if you just said, if you had told him, hey, you can cut all of this out and you can just do a whole movie that's nothing but, you know, Kylo Ren and Luke and Rey, he'd have been like, that's great. I'd love that.
Which admittedly would have been
amazing. But now he has to have all these other characters.
I think he really likes Poe Dameron, actually. I think he was like, wow, I wish you had done something with this.
Well, yeah,
he
was like, yeah.
And he gives the guy one of the most real character arcs of any character in this whole movie in terms of, like, really feeling like a real human being.
Right. I would actually say that Finn gets much more of a character arc than I think we realize, because his character up until now has been defined by running away from everything.
Yeah.
He runs away from the Empire. He's trying to run away from Han Solo at first, when they're in Maz's Cantina. The only reason really why he goes with them back to Starkiller Base is because... Yeah, because it's to help Rey, but also because he cannot run fast enough to get away from something that can blow up multiple planets. Then what's the first thing he does after he wakes up? He runs away again.
Yeah.
And it's only until the end that he's literally running towards something.
He's taking the beacon. Yes, his goal. He's like, I want to take this beacon off this ship, because if my friend comes back, she's going to get here in the First Order, and then she's dead.
And the one thing I'll say is, like, but did we need a CGI goat horse to get there? Was that necessary? Did we need it for you?
I agree. I think that you could have eliminated a lot of problems of this film by pairing Poe and Finn
together. That great chemistry in The Force Awakens.
Yes,
the first
one of
5 minutes.
The best scenes in the entire movie is in the first 5 minutes of The Force Awakens.
One of my biggest problems with the prequels was this focus on Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship. How it just did not work. Even though they had 6 hours of screen time, you never got a sense of chemistry between them. Because, again, the dialogue is bad. And they're being directed by Lucas.
Takes were being CGI together.
Sure. Yep. Oh, that too.
That kills chemistry.
Yes. Even though you can criticize Force Awakens, what J.J. Abrams did such a good job with was getting these characters to interact and feel real. Ryan Johnson kind of fails there because he's not interested in those characters.
He's telling a more interesting story, but at the expense of character. J.J. Abrams was telling a less interesting story, but gave us great characters that we could love. It's just two different directors with two different skill sets. You know, let's see if they can pull it off in 9 and kind of find the balance between those two.
I'm really kind of hoping. I'm still holding out hope for Storm Pilot, guys.
I feel like what the beauty of Empire, though, which they could have taken a note from, is that ultimately, and I remember thinking about this before this film started, whenever I found out that they were going to introduce Vice Admiral Holdo as well as Rose... and DJ is, holy hell, there are a lot of characters, right? And there are going to be too many subplots. And one of the ways that, I feel like one of the ways that Empire deals with that, kind of circumvents that issue, is that they put everybody together in one small space, right? So you have Han, Leia, C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca all together. Luke, Yoda, right over here. Then we have every once in a while Vader to come in, right, to push the story forward, right? Whereas if you, again, if we could have just taken out that part, right, and taken out the part where space horses are running around, and I
like the space goat horses.
No, come on.
They were adorable.
Oh, God.
They look like the cat bat from Last Guardian,
which I also hate.
I just feel like if you take that part out of the film, you also get rid of a lot of the problems, which is, right, the lesson that Poe's supposed, you know, it feels like to me that Finn, when he's learning the lesson of you can't go straight ahead, right? You can't go like run on a suicide mission to solve every problem. I was like, okay, well, Poe already learned this. We've already seen Poe learn this. So now you're at the point where Poe started at the beginning of the film. It just felt very problematic to me. It also, to me, kind of like, I like Rose fine. I thought the performance was fine. I just felt like it was ultimately very unnecessary. And I feel like if you have Poe and Finn together and you work on that chemistry and build on two performers that are amazing, it has the same problem that the prequels had, which is essentially at the very end, we're supposed to be told that Obi-Wan and Anakin love each other so much.
Right.
And they hear about this, not the 8th time, not the 9th time that I saved you. I'm like, you know what would have been really cool? If we would have seen any of these
shines. Yeah.
Right. That's what the Clone Wars was about.
Which we didn't see. And we missed the Clone Wars.
Right.
We have to watch a TV series to get all that.
Right. Exactly. And so that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way is that we had people go going, being torn apart from each other, right? Mm-hmm. And I agree. I think that I think every single person in the film does the best that they can with what they're being offered. But, you know, we have other big fish to fry and other things that we have to do. Namely, which I'm wondering, where are the Knights of Ren?
Yeah, that's been...
I got to kind of name drop me and a small group of people. Created the temple. I'm like, all right.
But, you know, the thing is, I kept thinking, are those the Praetorian Guard? Is that who they became?
No, that was just the Praetorian Guard. I think the Knights of Ren are going to be romp-stomping the galaxy in Nine.
Let's hope
they
so.
They all got killed by the Knights of Stimpy.
Yes, it's a good. It's
but
a good,
you know, yeah, good I will point out, you know, something that I really liked about this movie, and it was very early, and I was kind of surprised that these weren't bigger characters, because actually this movie kind of opens up with almost like a little mini movie unto itself. Mm. You know, you have Paige Tico, which is Rose's sister, as the bomber, going like, "Oh shit, I'm like everybody in my crew is dead, and I have to get this to work." You've got I think his name was Kennedy or Kennedy.
Kennedy,
like this old grizzled Imperial officer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, holy fuck, he's like the last adult in the First Order.
Yeah.
And they've kind of made a point in the other material that it's kind of a very young army. I mean, Huck should not be a general. And to hear this guy like, oh God, I'm taking orders from this guy. We should have scrambled our fighters 5 minutes. He's the only one who's like, because he's trying to take out our surface cannon. He knows what Poe's doing. Mm-hmm. And he's waiting for, you know, this idiot. Which, by the way, how great is it that within two movies, Hux went from being literally Hitler to Colonel Klink, and it's actually an improvement on his character.
Yes. It's a much better Colonel Klink.
Well, here's
like watching him constantly getting red-headed stepchild in this movie. Is
I think he's tooling with you, sir.
The thing that I love, and this is just something that I've picked up on through the movies, not through any of the supplementary material, anything, is that the First Order are fanboys.
Yes.
They are Empire fanboys. They are like they're like the current Nazi movement that is just like, they have hero worshipped the Empire for so long, the only idea they have is to recreate exactly what it was before, just bigger, because bigger is cooler, which is why they've got those giant ass ships that show up. It's like, oh no, Star Wars had, you know, Vader had the Super Star Destroyer. We're going to make the
super
unbelievable Star Destroyer.
It's actually called the Mega Super
the
Star
Mega
Destroyer.
Super, that'll be the ludicrous Star Destroyer.
Yeah, and that's what
that's
I like.
That's actually how he met Snoke. Ren, he started contacting him via a website. You know, and he's just like,
was.
You know, like this right-wing website run by Snoke. He's like, come on, man, we're going to start.
What happened was, it started off when he started posting in the hashtag about how actually it was about ethics and sapic journalism.
That's right.
They all hang out at Info Star Wars.
One of the other things I actually want to touch on, because we haven't really talked about, is Leia. And this is Carrie Fisher's last performance as that character, and where, aside from one scene, which I thought was like, this does not work. And but
you
before
didn't
we
like
want to
get Poppins?
I did not like that. People, here's the thing. What Carrie Fisher, great job throughout the entire movie. She brings such a gravitas. So like every time she was on in a scene and she was with all the other characters, it just you always instantly connected with her.
Absolutely.
I just love that about it. I felt one of the things I thought I was being subverted. What was subverted in the film was like, oh, okay, so all that stuff I saw in the trailers, I guess that was just like a red herring. They're actually going to kill her in this movie. And there was like a gasp in my ear when she gets sucked out of the ship along with all the other leadership. Akbar, he got named right in there.
I know, man. Akbar. I wanted Akbar to take Holdo's place.
And,
but, you know.
But at the same time, it's like, okay. I mean, it was shocking, but it worked. It worked really well for the film. And then it's like, oh, it makes sense. Now we're going to introduce to Laura Dern's character, and she's kind of going to be the substitute later. She has to take responsibility.
The dialogue that should have been there right before the hole blows open. Somebody turns to Akbar and goes, the one time you don't think it's a trap.
We tried to, but all the oxygen was sucked out of his mouth when he tried to do that.
I think that's a moment of execution that was not as good as it could have been, because you basically have a 65-year-old woman on a green screen.
Yes.
And they're just panning around her. It's like, Carrie, just stand there while the fan blows, and we'll do all the rest in post. She's like, okay, whatever.
I had no problem with the Force to do that. I mean, it was nice to see her actually use the Force.
She's
used it, but
not anything impressive. She's used, like,
but she hasn't been trained.
She's used the two-way radio, basically. But it's been 30 years. For all we know, she has had some.
Yeah, and
it's just an odd way to showcase it.
And honestly,
I think the effects didn't come out right.
Yeah, my problem was the effects more than anything else. because honestly, nothing in there says that she, like, we've seen her using the Force before. We saw it in Jedi. But in this case, like, yeah, there's no real reason to go like, but why could she do that when she's never done anything else? She's fucking dying.
Yeah, it's like, look, if like a 90-pound mother can lift up a car to save her child, I think Princess Leia can go, I need to get out of the fucking vacuum of space now.
It's just a really...
The Force kicks in.
It's just a really odd way to show it.
It is.
And it's unexpectedly...
Got fucked by a Force ghost. I mean, come on. The Force can do whatever the fuck it wants.
And it's just... But it presents itself...
Like the entity.
But has there ever been a moment... Like, this reminds me of a moment in the prequels, how goofy the Force can be, where you have Jedi doing multiple flippy jumps in the air, you know, quadruple black flips. It's like, it doesn't work based on what we've seen in the other movies.
I think the moment was overdue.
I keep going back to Force Awakens, but I liked about the Force Awakens that they showed new stuff in that film in terms of some of the Force powers. Sure. Stopping the blaster bolt. Really showing a more advanced version of reading someone's mind. Mm-hmm. The fact, you know, I thought that was really cool, but it was subtle enough where it felt natural. Here, doesn't really feel all that natural. It feels like we're going to go as crazy as we possibly can. And in the case of Leia, it just didn't work for me personally. And it just is like, you had a moment to do the send-off. And now what they're going to do... Opening credits of episode 9, Leia has passed away.
It's just like, unless
they use a CGI Tarkin.
They said that they're not going to do that.
Well, if they just have some way just to show, for us to watch her, to watch her die, as morbid as that got. But the other thing to keep in mind is like, the pulling the weird goofy stuff out of the Force has precedent in the original trilogy as well.
Oh, sure.
Nobody ever gave any indication that they could shoot fucking lightning until the Emperor did it.
But it was cool. And it worked. Cool. It worked for that scene.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
Yeah, well, that's...
Didn't elicit laughter,
speaking of crazy Force use... And again, there's a lot of crazy Force use, and it's always kind of like whatever the plot dictates. Ooh, what if they did this? The smartest use of the Force I've seen in a long time is the way that Kylo Ren and Rey communicate with one another.
Yeah,
because
that was great.
You could have done like some weird gauzy filter, hazy looking thing,
Force
with weird music, you know, but it's all done through performance, eye matching,
no Wi-Fi,
and camera cutting and editing. That's all I needed to go, oh wait, they're connecting.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I like.
Just through camera work,
and I love the relationship that they had, where they even when they are still ostensibly enemies, they are sharing this like deep internal internal conflict they're both having, and it feels earned, it feels natural. Yeah. It doesn't. So when Kylo says, you know, no, you're coming, you know, I'm not turning, you're going to turn with me, and he's asking her to, you know, join him, it doesn't feel like a retread of, you know, join me and we'll rule the galaxy like Buck.
As an audience member, because they've made that connection, and there's all the things we're shown, but from Luke freaking out, like, Luke himself doesn't have control over his own emotions, to his argument, man, fuck all that other shit, fuck the Sith, fuck the dark and light side, we're both powerful, let's make the universe a great place together. You as an audience member are kind of conflicted, going, like,
this could work.
This is a decent offer.
The thing is, though, he's going to go around the galaxy murdering all these people. He's like, yeah, we're going to start something new, but I'm still going to use the dark side.
Yeah, it was that moment where you think he's going to, like, no, they're going to start something new, but he's still killing her friends.
Yeah, she's like, no, please don't do this. You know, it is the first time in a very long time in a movie someone's basically done the version of, you know, we're not so different, you and I. And it ends up not being cheesy. It actually works. They're like, yes, we have a lot in common, but ultimately... I can't be down with what you're doing.
One of the things, I'm sorry, this might be like a fan fiction-y thing. You know, I've thought over the years, because I'm a Star Wars fan. No. Actually, I'm glad they
did like Ray Lowe?
They did. No,
saying?
No. They did like a subtle drop. I'm like, guys, don't.
No, of course not. He's cucks.
No. Yeah, exactly, absolutely.
I'm team foe.
You know, in my musings of Star Wars, I always thought, like, what if Darth Vader actually went with Luke at the end of Empire, and he was like, use and return Jedi. So, like, again, dumb, doofy stuff. However, I started to think, what if Kylo did go to the light, and we get that scene, you know, towards the third act, where Kylo's there with Finn and Poe and his mother, and you have this interaction where based on – and to know that he murdered his father in the last film. What's that interaction going to be like? That just – and that's what I wanted with this film. I wanted a
– Space Thanksgiving is going to be super awkward.
Well, that's how you end up – that's how you end up with Fast and the Furious 8 when they're bringing in characters like, hey, didn't you murder our best friend?
Don't worry about it. It was a long time ago.
See, I didn't think it would be like, you know, so flippant with Fast and Furious. Sure. It's like, yeah, you killed that guy. It's like, I think there would have been – That would have subverted my expectations because it would have said, okay, now that we have a villain with us, like, or someone who is seemingly reformed, how is he going to interact with everyone else? That could have been a cool it would have given me the character stuff that I was craving.
And Ray certainly seemed willing to forgive him if he
or at least help him. Or at least help him.
I was actually hoping they were going to introduce the Gray Force.
Yeah, but that's
there is no Gray Force.
Yes, there is.
I was going to say,
yes, there is. It's called the Bendu. Yeah, that's it's a whole different religious sect.
It's going to be like an arc for him going like the dark side doesn't work, the light side.
Yeah, let's try something that.
There's got to be something else here.
And that's the problem.
50 Shades with, of Rey, perhaps.
It's the movie saying,
"Get out."
It's Rian Johnson.
No, you'd see that.
It's Rian Johnson taking these risks, but then it's only a half measure. It's not really taking risks because he's still going to be evil. It's still going to be Jets. You know, he's still going to fight. He's going to die in episode 9because that's.
But he's a much more interesting villain than Snoke, and it just gets that question of can he be redeemed? Nope.
Again, they didn't. But we didn't get a chance. Like that's the thing, man. I love what they were doing with Snoke in the film. Like he actually made him like every scene that he had, and just that dynamic of Kylo Ren's like. Take that ridiculous thing off. This is like, okay, this is really cool.
Yeah, he played him great.
You know, or just in the throne room in general. Well,
Andy Serkis being the best thing about the character. There's a shocker.
Yeah, you know.
But, Adam, I think you want to say something.
Yeah, I feel like with, you know, I love Kylo Ren's character and where they're going. I think Adam Driver, and I also agree. I think that what Kylo and Rey are is like the exact the antithesis of what we saw with Anakin and Padme, right? Is that they are just a forbidden relationship, friendship, whatever you want to call it, but it just works perfectly, right? And it works in a short amount of time also, because we only get to see them, I think, 3 times really talking to each other, right? Before we get the ultimate moment where, you know, they have to team up together. But I always thought that what we might see is that, or as I kind of did the same thing, the kind of like, okay, well, that's how would this play out? So I thought to myself, what if Kylo ends up turning back, right? But he doesn't do the Vader and give his life. In a way, he ultimately does some type of, I don't know what you would call it, like basically a forced sacrifice. Right, where he uses all his power to do whatever it is and save the day,
kind of like how Luke did.
Only Luke dies.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm.
And I went on a force binge. It was too much for him.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
The force is a hell of a drug, guys.
Yeah, big time. Obviously, right? And so I mean,
could you just like redefine that as Luke did a River Phoenix?
No,
a Rebel Phoenix.
You never go full force.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so exactly.
I feel like with Kylo Ren though is that if we saw this you know extreme moment where he ends up saving the day or whatever, that's fine, and we see him at the end with Leia, with Rey, with the rest of the group, and the Jedi Academy started again, and he's completely cut off from the Force, right? I feel like we would have a very bittersweet, tragic moment, right? Whereas this guy who was like, look, I think I'm going to be, like, I'm the chosen one, basically, right? Is that he thinks that nobody is better than him, right? He basically tells Rey in a pretty kind of fucked up way, right? He says, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, right?
But I don't care.
But then punctuates it, right? Mm-hmm. By saying, like, but you're not nothing to me, right?
Yeah,
it matters
that's
to
moment.
Me. And so
he's basically negging her. That's what the that's the way Snoke treats him.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like, eat your shit. Oh, but you're great.
And
you're
I always so felt like it was like a gaslighting moment in a way, right? A little
it's
bit,
like,
you know?
You're worthless, but if you stay with me, I'm the only one who will appreciate you.
Which is why I'm really hoping that in 9 they don't pull back on the whole your parents were nobody. Commit to it, but also don't take away that amazing moment from Kylo when he's like, you already know the answer, just admit it. And instead of saying like, well, he just thought they were nobody because he's arrogant and a dick, like, no, let us leave that, like... One of the things I like about Kylo Ren is he is not a liar. He is not a deceiver. He never once plays any tricks.
Well,
he has always been exactly who he's claimed to be.
One of the parts of the movie I actually really liked was the flashback sequences from two different people's perspectives.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Rashomon.
One
moment.
Is from Luke, which he's saying that, you know, Kylo was evil. I needed to do what I needed to do. Oh, and then there was Kylo saying, "No, he always tried to kill me. You know, I didn't do anything wrong." But then there's always a middle version of what we actually see. And so
in both cases,
Kylo's
right.
Kylo's kind of lying.
Well, no. They were not lying. They're both correct. Wait for it. From a certain point of view.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, he woke up and he saw his uncle holding a lightsaber. He didn't see his uncle going like, "Oh my God, I'm a horrible person."
I think Kylo's version of it is actually more closer to the truth. Because the first time around, right, Luke says, like, "I came in," or whatever. He says, "I came in," and then, like, he basically pulled it down on me. He took some of the Jedi, then he ran off, right?
It's ironic that ultimately Luke did give in to fear and negative emotions in that moment, right? That's a weakness. He gives in to the dark side. Kylo's like, "Well, shit, Luke's gonna do it."
See, but it's my uncle's.
Well, they already said that, like, Snoke correcting lies. Snoke had already gotten his claws into him. He had already started his corruption.
Which I was like, I would have liked to have seen that.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, so, like,
I would have liked to have seen a Tom Riddle moment, right?
Yeah,
where we get to see
back.
Him
yeah.
by himself, right? Playing with the dark, like him walking in, like, what the hell are you doing?
We still very well might, so hold out hope for that.
Maybe
Snoke flashbacks. And he doesn't die. It's like, he's got force cruxes all over the galaxy.
But I think, what we saw was accurate from Kylo's point of view. Like, he has seen it. You know, he's always said, you know, these people are jealous of my power. These people are, you know, these people are holding you back. And he sees that, like, so it makes sense that he sees Luke standing over him, and his immediate thought was, "I'm the good guy. Luke tried to kill me because he's jealous or scared of me."
Well, he also has his lightsaber on.
I mean,
no matter who it is.
Well,
right?
He definitely.
Like, what are you doing?
My brother.
This is a flashlight.
He definitely had
keys in here. There was a spider on you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was definitely not unjustified in being worried.
Yeah. If my father shows up and he has a gun pointed at me and I wake up, I'm not going to be like, "Oh, hey, Pops, what's up? Are we okay? I guess we're going to In-N-Out now." Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way, right? I mean, so I think it's also really important to your point that they keep that theme that they're both running away from the past because it connects them thematically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to see a balance in both of them. And I thought this film did it much better than the conclusion of The Force Awakens did, right? Like, because the point was is that. Is always supposed to be, as you said before, and as the film said, you know, darkness rises, light rises to match it. You know, not light to meet it. We're supposed to see equals in the Force, but at the end of The Force Awakens, we get the exact opposite of that, in my opinion, which is to say, like, here's somebody who had 15, maybe more years of training. Here's a person who blinked and closed their eyes, and they're automatically better than you.
Yeah.
And so I felt like they did a really good job in this film of showing, especially in that moment where they're fighting for the lightsaber on Snoke's throne room, that neither one of them are budging. And furthermore, it's a better moment. A better version of the Obi-Wan Anakin part in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, yeah, where
they're doing the...
They're just twirling at each other.
Twirling, right? Yeah. The little meme that says, "This does nothing," right? Where they're just doing that over and over again. So,
I mean, I think everybody else is just a Force bender. She's the Avatar.
That's but then establish that. Establish that is what I'm saying.
Although, that being said, she's able to fight him not because she's inherently better having just blinked and gotten better. He got shot by a fucking bowcaster that blows shit up.
I agree with that.
He's
had a really bad day.
Yeah, when she finally gets to him, he is well and truly fucked.
Sure.
He should be dead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he certainly is incredibly powerful. I mean, he is so powerful he can actually deceive Snoke, who is clearly, on the surface, more powerful than he is.
Right.
But he's powerful enough that he can deceive him enough to murder the guy.
But, yeah, he's like, "No, I see exactly what you're going to do. I just didn't realize it was going to be against me."
Sure.
You know, who knows? I mean, you know, look, come on. Snoke's an alien. He probably, Galactic Basic isn't his first language. Maybe his first language doesn't have any respect for
pronouns. Yeah, he didn't understand that slang term.
He's going to kill it. It's something. something. You're going to kill
it. It's just like Snoke.
Yeah. Oh, shit, it is me. I didn't know that.
Well, we had an arrival
it's
moment.
The same, yeah. Snoke has the same weakness the Emperor had in arrogance.
Yeah, sure, sure. Absolutely.
It's really the same weakness Darth Maul had in that he's in two parts.
Except when you follow the Clone Wars. And then he's miraculously alive because he's just so angry he stayed alive.
He's great in Rebels. And I haven't seen Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, he's great. He's great in Rebels. It's just like, oh, I had to die before it became interesting. So maybe Phasma will be more interesting in 9.
One of my favorite Star Wars moments is the final confrontation between old Ben and old Maul, and it works so well.
It leads up to
a great moment.
About playing against expectations, but I won't spoil that for anyone.
Yeah, yeah, I won't spoil that.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Like what you were talking about, like these two equal forces rising, and part of the problem is that everybody... I think you had said that, you know, Adam, you had said that Luke kind of gave in to his despair or negativity and, like, thought, I got to kill this kid. And Rey calls him out. He says, the problem is, you know, he had already decided you were going to make that decision. He didn't let you make that decision.
Right.
And all of these characters have choices to make. They have paths. And once somebody tells you, oh, you're the chosen one, or you're the son of Skywalker, or, you know, you're a Jedi, you're a Sith, your path is kind of predestined, it's mapped out. And I think with Rey and this new saga so far has been like, actually, this could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not going to follow the traditional hero's journey. You know, it could go in any number of directions. And that makes it exciting, even though sometimes frustrating.
And that's kind of what I wanted to go into. But before that, is there anything else that anyone wants to touch on in terms of something that we haven't brought up? Or
the humor, actually...
We're right at an hour, so...
Okay.
Yeah. The humor kind of threw me off it a bit because... Okay. Because it's not the humor that I've gotten used to from Star Wars. Star Wars has always had jokes, but I've never heard someone do a call waiting joke before.
An elaborate yo mama joke.
It's a millennial joke in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's the fact that it felt contemporary. Kind of, you have to go back and watch and the humor in the original Star Wars is kind of 70s humor,
sure.
And everything else after that has been kind of aping it instead of going the humor is going to reference the era that it was written in. Mm-hmm. Even Rebels and Clone Wars all, to a certain extent, had humor that was closer to the original Star Wars as opposed to what we have now.
Troop jokes were huge in the late 90s.
It's not like someone made a Lady Gaga reference in the movie. You know?
Yeah. It does introduce the words Godspeed.
Yeah.
And big ass. Two words I never thought would be in a Star Wars movie.
And spunk. Which I'm like, spunk. I don't like it when Snoke said spunk. I was
that
was the line that launched a 1,000 fanfics.
Yeah.
That's a page turn.
That word's up there with moist, I agree. We should just excise that from the language.
Yeah. So, I guess, what do we want to see in Episode 9? Well, what do you think this is leading to at this point?
More porgs. Porgs everywhere.
Porgs, I think so.
They are the tribbles of the new universe.
That's right.
They're
going to lower that ramp. They're all going to fly out.
Unleashed an adorable plague upon the galaxy.
Yes.
What you don't realize is that planet used to be had more than one island. It used to be a verdant forest, and then the porgs showed up.
They ate it all. You know, I'm almost reluctant to make predictions because I had so many predictions going into 7 and 8, and I'm just like, wow, I was wrong, and I'm big enough to admit that. A lot of expectations, and Rian Johnson just said, look, I know you got expectations, but I want to do something different and not give you what you expect. I appreciated that. I agree with you that, Herman, we do need to see some resolution on some of these questions that were sidestepped in this particular installment. I think that could retroactively, you know, maybe save some of the worst elements of this film if it's actually addressed in 9.
Mm-hmm.
If at minimum, I would like to see that. I think J.J. Abrams is the kind of logical fanboy guy who's like, well, I really, you know, there's a mystery. Why didn't you solve the mystery? I need to know the mystery.
Now he can do it.
now I can talk about Snoke.
He was the old man who ran the haunted amusement park.
That's right.
The whole time.
And he wouldn't have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for you meddling Jedi. I do think we need to see, after that final image of those little kids... recounting the tale of Luke Skywalker, which is very similar to what happens in the Ewok village, the idea that these stories are inspirational to future generations. I think we need to see some of that. Clearly, the Resistance needs to rebuild. And you know what? The one gripe I didn't make clear earlier, no Lando. Why don't I have Lando?
Yeah.
Because you know what? They're like, oh, we don't have a place for him. It's like the most infamous gambler and mining speculator in the Star Wars universe. Your two new locations, a casino and an abandoned mining facility.
Right, I will say I have a friend of mine who works at cons. He's one of the higher up people they get mm-hmm. to sort of guide the celebrities around. And he said, basically, Billy Dee Williams has no idea what's going on around.
The thing that
his guy, who's like his handler, it kind of feels like the guy's like just pumping him for money, and
probably
he doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah, but he's great in the Star Wars games and in the Star Wars animated series.
That's what I'll say.
Lando.
He seems incredibly lucid. He's doing voice work, yes, but and
maybe
he's not slurring his speech or anything.
No, I don't think he has that. It's just he's just sitting down reading lines right off a script. Maybe there's a difference.
They could have solved it? Eliminate Maz Kanata and make that Lando. We need to find a guy.
Yeah, I was in the
Billy
Dee
sitting in a room going, I'm too busy right now to come help you.
Which would make way...
That would have been so...
Would have been fan service.
Just as much sense, right?
Just as much sense.
Yeah, it's going to know all the CD, like, under...
The criminals.
Of course, Lando, right? Mm-hmm. Who's dealt with every single person in the galaxy, right?
Yeah, he's an old scoundrel and pirate, although I have to admit...
I've got an old mining facility that I abandoned years ago, but I built a huge wall to keep out the pirates.
Real quick.
I'll give you the access codes.
Biggest gripe of the entire movie for me, what the hell is Justin Theroux doing in that movie?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what he's there, because it's a misdirect, because they had to get a recognizable actor, so you believe that's the guy, so that when Benicio starts coming around, you're even like, yeah, I don't know who that, what am I supposed to think is happening?
But he's an even bigger,
they should have just promoted Benicio, right. They should have promoted Justin Theroux in all the promo material, Benicio Del Toro.
I'm going to say... Most audiences don't know who Justin Theroux
that's
is.
True.
I'm pretty
that's,
sure.
That's,
I'm
yeah.
just like, I'm going to go out on the limb.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
But yeah, if I would ask my mother, who goes to movies often, or...
compared to Benicio Del Toro, who apparently directed The Shape of Water, according to...
Justin Theroux is still very much a... You kind of have to be a little inside baseball to know who he is. He's premium cable. He is not, like, basic cable.
That's fair.
That's one of those things like, hey, buddy, you want to have a cameo? Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you know,
yeah,
lots
I mean,
of
like,
people show up and be in a mask.
Yeah, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt was one of the one of the bomber pilots.
They had to have somebody that had some amount of face recognition, so you would, if it was just a nobody, you'd go, that's not it.
Somebody who's distinctive
right
looking enough to go,
that's Justin Theroux.
Right.
Okay, I guess he's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, that way it is a little surprising when Benicio Del Toro.
But Joseph Gordon-Levitt also played the person that was talking about the parking ticket, right? I mean, played that alien. So, I would have been as satisfied to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt play that part, right?
Oh, he played that alien?
Yeah. The one that was
I hear Mark Hamill did the little gambling, the slot machine. Mark Hamill.
Oh, man.
They're like, hey, Mark, you're doing ADR. Just do some cackling while you're here. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay, guys, why not?
Yeah. He likes doing it. No, but as far as predictions go, I would like to see a Luke Force Ghost.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that, yeah.
I'd like to see that. If they really are going to go into Obi-Wan, let's have an Obi-Wan Force Ghost.
Hmm.
If they do an Obi-Wan trilogy, it's a great time to introduce that character. I would like to see some resolution on Snoke. Very little, just could be a line. And God damn it, I just want one reference to Lando. Other than that, I'm really willing to just sign up for whatever ride they take me on and just be surprised.
The one thing I will say is that at least, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the next movie, which is, I think, one of the things that Last Jedi does well. It's like, okay, all my predictions that I had, I wasn't like angry fanboy wanting to do petitions. I was just like, okay, you did something
Snoke
different.
Wasn't Plagueis.
I'll think it,
outraged.
Which I'm like, that'd be kind of cool though. Cause it would bring the whole saga together in a way, but it's like, okay, you can do your own thing. I think, the thing that's kind of obvious that this is going to be the end of the Skywalkers. I think with Ben Solo, this is going to end it. And
well,
then it's Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're out of Skywalkers too.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. Spoiler. I guess you guys.
The next one will be the last Star Wars film that involves the Skywalker family.
Okay. So there you go. That was pretty much it for me. But
and I think they're setting that up now. It could be heroes could rise from anywhere. Doesn't have to be noble blood.
Yeah. Which is the whole point of it all. And that's what I would like to see too. I would like to see the rise of the next generation.
Broom Kid gets his own trilogy.
Oh, yeah, because when you really get right down to it, the kid's telling the story about Luke taking on the gorilla AT-AT-ADETs or whatever the hell those things are going to be called. is literally what we were all doing when we got out of the theater as kids. We are all going to tell our friends about the story of Luke Skywalker fighting down Darth Vader. And so, yeah, it's like literally just we're watching the growth of the next generation of the people whose story this will be.
All of whom have the Force.
Yeah, which I like seeing. I just want to see more of that. I want to see more of the next generation and more of the universe that doesn't involve Coruscant or the Outer Rim.
You're never seeing Coruscant again. we saw in Rogue One, but not really.
Yeah.
But after that, we're never seeing that planet again.
What if they do it like Buffy and they just make everyone a Slayer? You know, everybody's Force powerful now. What are you going to do, bitches? There you go. Try and take over the galaxy when the cleaning lady is like Force pushing you out the door.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Harris, I mean, we're going to be getting a Star Wars movie every year from now on until we're all dead and we're all worm food. Well, so. Until we are one with the Force.
I have seen the Star Wars trilogy end twice in my life.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm never going to have that moment again. We're like, well, did that.
No, you're going to...
Your kid should have been there. It was great. I was like, can't ever have that moment.
You're going to come back as a Force ghost and watch it.
No, now we're going to actually go to Florida and actually live in Star Wars, the new theme park.
Star Wars theme park resting home. That'll be...
Are you kidding? Sign my ass up. I will totally do that.
In 20 years,
blue milk every day with your pill.
Freshly milked.
Full-on ballistic VR and just be like, yeah, I just live there.
Yeah.
I hire someone to...
That's what I want.
Put fluids into an IV into my arm and clean my ass.
Yeah, I think if I were to take a stab at what the crawl basically, or what the crux of the last movie is going to be, is I think that we're going to jump 5 to 10 years, just by the necessity of the need to find a way to get Carrie Fisher out of the story. Princess Leia will have gone. Planet to planet or whatever as an ambassador of the Resistance. Poe is at the top now. He's the leader. And I think that we're going to see Kylo Ren has gone. He has brought the Knights of Ren out of hiding, and they are leaving the galaxy in ruin, right? It's tattered. It's destroyed. And therefore, Rey, who has been studying all of the Jedi texts, which she took, which she took from the tree, now has to go find both old and young pupils to become the next Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's essentially how you're going to play it off, is you're going to have an epic ending where you're going to have 7 dark side users, 7, whether they know how to use the Force or not, members of that are aspiring to become Jedi, mm-hmm. and then the First Order will take on the Resistance, who have met a lot of new champions of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be okay. I hope that we have enough time to see it. And I think it's going to be, because J.J. Abrams has already said that he has a story in his head for the Knights of Ren. And I think it would be the perfect opportunity to show them in some capacity and then say, okay, well, if you thought that they were really cool, the way you thought Boba Fett was cool, well, you're going to get this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it would be neat because in a way you get almost like, and I know Rogue One was kind of this already, but you get your Ocean's 11, right? Or your Avengers moment for Star Wars.
Yeah.
You also get to see Rey in a completely different, unsteady moment where she has to ascend and become the unknowing teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be cool.
Yeah, all great predictions, guys. Thank you. And see, hey, we came together even though we don't agree on everything. Yeah. We didn't have to yell at each other or, you know,
I actually, while
sign
we were
petitions.
Here on my phone, made 5 petitions for every single person.
No. Yeah.
I have anonymously, curse you out on all of your social medias. I feel bad
about
that
now. Oh, shit,
that
was you?
Yeah.
I even broke
my... Oh, man, dude, I doxed you for that. Oh, yeah, now I feel bad.
I even broke my own rule when someone was like, I really liked the last show. I was like, well, I really didn't. I was like, ah, now I feel like an asshole for doing that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to sound that way.
No. This is good. This is healthy. And I think over time, what's going to happen is, as it's happened with all of the Star Wars films, after time, the ones you really loved, you start going, you start picking apart the flaws. And the ones you thought that weren't that good, you start to recognize the good qualities.
Right. Absolutely.
I think, you know, it'll be interesting what people say 20 years from now when kids who are now younger than us now are our age, and they're going to go, oh, man, remember Last Jedi? That was the first Star Wars I ever saw, and that was amazing.
But 20 years from now, everybody's going to insist that they all loved it from the start, or they all hated it from the start.
Like, Empire got bad press when it came out. People forget that.
Yeah, plus there'll be 20 more Star Wars movies by that point anyway. So people might,
Get ready for that Han Solo trilogy, kids.
Yeah. But I know it's cliche, but I have to say this to all our listeners. May the Force be with you.
You're right, that is cliche.
It is cliche.
That's why I like The Force Awakens.
May the Force be with you.
You say it, I've said it enough.